Right now, though, we are joined by Susan McGuire of the Chapel Hill Public Library, filling in for Susan Brown this week with Talking Books, and you have brought a friend. How are you?
Good. Fine. Thank you.
And you are with, this is Star, right?
This is my dog, Star. So
awesome.
If you hear heavy breathing, it's not me.
Okay.
don't be nervous.
All right.
And she decided she wanted to come to the studio.
That sounds good. So what is the occasion? There's a special occasion that brings her here today.
Yeah, well, we are going to talk about dog books, but also
yes.
Because yesterday was her 2-year adoptiversary.
Yay!
So I decided she needs to go out in public, which she doesn't actually enjoy very much, but,
okay.
You know,
yeah.
I'm a jerk.
She seems to be doing all right now. We got her into the studio a little while ago, and she was kind of nervous, but she's calmed down now that she sees how not nerve-wracking the radio is. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Okay, so you adopted her not from around here. This was West Virginia, right, when you were up there?
From the county shelter in West Virginia in Charleston,
okay.
Where I lived. And, yeah, it was great.
Very cool.
I fostered her first because I was pretending that I had fostered dogs in the past. And I'm like,
okay.
Well, this will just be another foster. So it took me a few months to admit the truth.
What was the difference with Star versus the other dogs?
I don't know. And
it's kind of hard to put your finger on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she is old, and I had never fostered a senior dog before.
Okay.
And she's definitely the smallest dog I fostered.
Okay.
And I always considered myself a big dog person.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. She just, sorry, I'm not getting choked up.
Okay.
She is just like kind of a weirdo.
Yeah, yeah.
She has a weird personality that I
responded
to.
She's a poodle mix, right?
Poodle mix.
Is what we're going with. My grandparents had a dog named Misty who was just like her. It's like a white poodle mix. So I'm getting nostalgic just being in the room with her, which is really cool.
You can cuddle with her after.
How old is she?
She is either 10 or 12.
Okay.
We're not really sure because.
But definitely not 11.
Well, I suppose now it's possible. I should just say 11 because that splits the difference.
It's about right, yeah.
11.5.
Okay. And you've had her for a little bit more than 2 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. All right. So we've got Star here because it's her 2-year adoptiversary, but also because we're talking about the dog days of summer because it is so hot.
I hate it.
Out there, and it's going to stay hot for many days to come. But we can beat the heat by staying inside and reading books. So.
Yeah.
And before we get into our dog days of summer related book recommendations, we got a thing coming up at the Chapel Hill Public Library. We always do Banned Books Week and the art project and everything that's coming up later on this fall. But there's something coming up later. Is it this week?
This week, on Friday. So, you know, we're doing the Banned Books Trading Card Art Contest again. And we put out the call to artists a couple weeks ago. So this year we're doing something different to try to encourage people who maybe have felt intimidated by entering or felt like their idea wasn't good enough or just, you know, had whatever excuses they had for not entering.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday afternoon at 3:00, Casey Landau, who works in our youth and family department, is also an art teacher, and she's going to be talking to us about how to take the ideas and like the concepts for why a book is banned and making that art.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to explain this all day and doing a bad job because I don't know how to do what she is describing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it will be useful.
So like you have an idea or a vision in your head and sort of taking that sort of abstract thing and turning it into something that's tangible.
Right.
Right.
And to visually represent. Because
that's always my problem because I've got these great ideas for art in my head, but I have absolutely zero artistic talent whatsoever. I can't draw. I can't paint. I can't sculpt. I can't do anything.
Huh.
So.
Well, maybe you should come.
I might have to come. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if she'll be able to help you with.
Yeah, probably not. But at least worth a shot,
maybe.
Maybe
to like solidify your ideas.
Yeah.
And because books are a word medium instead of a visual or mostly not a visual medium.
Right.
There's.
Depending on the book, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Because as soon as I started saying that, it was like, no.
Like, no, I've got all kinds
pictures.
Of books in my head that are so
visual. I should just stop talking
visual.
About it. The point is Friday at 3.
Friday at 3.
Someone much better at articulating this than me will be actually helping.
And is this going to be for anyone? Is it going to be for a certain age range, for kids, for all ages?
It's focused on teens and adults.
Okay.
So
mostly
it's not
everyone.
Really a little kid program, okay. Just because I don't know if it would be that interesting for
yeah.
them.
But like if you're sort of young adult and getting up into like adolescent, young adult, adult, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, so if anyone you can who's sit comfortably in a room full of adults and...
Oh, that lets me out.
Sorry.
I've never been able
to
do
that. We'll let you run around outside.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's good. I'll be out there playing with Star.
Oh,
although probably okay, no. not, because it'll be like 100 degrees on Friday, yeah. So yeah.
But it will be a good excuse to bring
there.
Him to work.
Oh, there you go. Awesome. So we're speaking with Susan McGuire again, filling in for Susan Brown this week on Talking Books. We're talking about the Dog Days of Summer. Of course, you can head to the library Friday at 3 for that if you're interested in maybe getting involved in the Banned Books Trading Card Project. They do that every year, and they've got the call for applications and submissions out even as we speak, so you can get in on that as well. But let's talk books. We got the it's hot out there. We're mm-hmm. in the dog days of summer. We've got a dog here in the yeah. studio with us for the first time. So are we doing dog recommendations, summer recommendations, heat recommendations?
Well,
I've split the difference with one of mine, but
yeah, I went with dog books.
Okay, yeah, so have I kind of.
Where the dogs don't die. At
don't
the end.
Die. Yeah, that's a good call. Because there's so many dog books, and it's like it's sort of the standard narrative with dog books, right? It's like the dog comes into the family.
But like,
well,
we need something to happen at the end.
Brings the whole family together, and then it's this tragedy at the end when the dog has to die for some reason. But that is not how every single dog book should have to go. There are plenty of good dog books where the dog lives, and it's a happy ending.
Yeah, and so I happened to it was like this beautiful moment of. The stars aligning because I just happened to have made a list in our catalog of books where the dog doesn't die. So nice. I picked a selection from that list.
I love the fact that the Chapel Hill Public Library has a list of books where the dog doesn't die.
Yeah, it's called The Dog Who Lived.
That's awesome.
Yeah, get it?
I like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Very Harry Potter. Yeah, yeah, there we go.
Just in case anyone...
Yeah, just where... Yeah, all right.
Okay, so that's hilarious.
Okay, so your first recommendation, yeah.
So first I'm going to give you a tip. If the book has a punny title, mm-hmm. Like I found one called The Chihuahua Always Sniffs Twice, or Gone with the Woof. So those Hey-ho. Kinds of things, like you know that the dog's going to make it.
They're a little bit more sweet. Kind of glib, yeah, okay.
So on that... note, I guess. I chose a series of mysteries by Spencer Quinn, and it's called the Chet and Bernie Mysteries. The first is called Dog on It.
Hey-o.
Get it?
Yeah.
And the narrator, it's Bernie is a private investigator, and he has a dog, Chet, and Chet is actually the narrator of the books, and so it sounds like a little hokey, but it's actually really funny, because Chet will... forget that he has like his choker collar on and like be saying something and then all of a sudden and there he meets like the father of this missing girl who they're trying to find and he smells an awful lot like a cat
not good at all.
So they're funny, but they're also really, if you like mysteries, like there is a real mystery in there.
Awesome.
And I just want to give you a couple more of the titles from the series. So that's the first one.
Okay. Are they all punny titles?
Yep.
Okay.
They're even better, I think.
Oh, good.
To Fetch a Thief.
Ah, nice.
A Fistful of Collars.
I like that one.
Sound and the Furry.
Good.
Paw and Order.
These are really good.
Yeah.
He started with Doggone It, and he's gone up from there.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And there's a couple more, but they're not as good.
All right.
So, I mean,
like
the titles. The books are
the books are good. Okay, so check those out. The first one that I thought of was one of my favorite authors growing up was Beverly Cleary, and you gotta love the Ramona books. The Quimby family, Ramona and Beezus, and her mother and father. But they've got the neighbor kid Henry Higgins, who has a couple of books of his own that are dedicated just to him. And the dog book is Ribsy, which is one of my favorite dog books growing up. And that's I don't remember 100%, but I definitely, like, Ribsy is with Henry through many, many books, so I'm...
Is it called Henry and Ribsy, or is that...
That might be a different book. Yeah. There's one that's definitely just called Ribsy. There might be another one called Henry and Ribsy. There's a couple of Henry Higgins books, so...
I don't remember the details.
Is it Henry... Henry Higgins is My Fair Lady. Yes. Henry Huggins is...
Oh,
is,
yeah.
I think. Now I'm looking
well,
it up.
Look. what do you expect us to know stuff? I don't remember the details of that.
Henry Huggins.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I remember not throwing it across the room like I did when I read
right?
Black Beauty. So
yes,
that makes me think
yes.
It's probably.
I'm pretty sure Ribsy. I don't think Ribsy ever passes away in a Beverly Cleary book. I know
no,
the Quimby's cat
deal
does.
With issues.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but. Yeah.
What was the cat's name? It's like it's the same word twice in a row.
I have no idea.
It's like purr, puss puss, or like some like cat thing. The cat definitely.
We're not here to talk about cats.
Okay, cool. But Ribsy is the dog, and the dog does not die in Ribsy by Beverly
right.
Cleary. So check that out. It's very
yeah.
good.
And the hijinks.
It's a great book for kids. Like the whole Beverly Cleary series. Like she's such a great writer.
Yeah, like her kids have such like kid energy. I remember reading them, like especially Ramona when I was
yeah.
a kid, and. You know, my life was nothing like Ramona.
Right, right.
Because she only had one sibling, and I was like, that's a dream come true.
Yeah. How many siblings did you have?
Three.
Oh, wow.
I still do.
I had zero.
Oh, what?
I still do.
No, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
But, like, did you have your own bathroom and stuff?
No. It was, we lived in a small house, so three bedrooms, one bathroom, so I split it with my parents. But
you had your own...
But I had my own bedroom, yeah.
I had to share with my sister.
It was very nice.
My life was hard.
It's one of those that you just take for granted that you have your own bedroom. And I had that like my entire life growing up.
But now,
people with siblings.
Are you like really bad at sharing?
Actually, I'm pretty good at sharing.
Hmm.
I don't know. My parents did a good job instilling that in me. At least I think I'm really good
right.
at sharing. Other people try to weigh in, but I interrupt them. So I never find out what they think. Picky was Ramona's cat's name.
Oh.
Yeah.
I knew
it started with
that.
A P, and it was like a double thing. Okay, anyway,
you're
so
close.
That's mine.
Okay, the next one I have is, it's nonfiction.
Uh-huh.
And it will make you cry, but in
not
a good
because
way.
The dog dies? Okay.
Right. It's called The Possibility Dogs, and it's about a woman who follows a bunch of shelter dogs who are considered unadoptable. And so okay, therapy dogs, we all know
mm-hmm.
like about seeing eye dogs, but they're also psychiatric therapy dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And to get one of those for a person suffering from a mental illness of some kind, it's often prohibitively expensive. And
yes.
so there are folks who get dogs out of the shelter and train them to be psychiatric therapy dogs. And
mm-hmm.
so she follows some of these dogs and, you know, just seeing the transformation stories of like, there's
oh, yeah.
one, a deaf and blind terrier named Ollie,
uh-huh.
who is a mess, but really has some talent that comforts kids who have anxiety.
Okay.
Or a dog named Merlin, who they found him in a garbage bag.
Oh, wow.
But now Merlin has a companion who gets panic attacks, and so Merlin like can sense when one's coming on
That's
and stabilize
awesome.
It. And it's just like there are pictures, and you'll just be like, "I love this."
It's one of those visual
so moved
books.
By everything.
Yeah.
It is. It's mostly text.
I like the. I love the fact that this is a story. It's a story about the dogs, right? Like what's
yeah.
moving is like I've heard of and I've seen them in action, like therapy dogs, and they're so effective. Like,
yeah.
It's such a, you'd see the transformation in the people when the therapy dog comes by, but you never really think about the fact that it might also be a transformation for the dogs as well.
Right.
That's a really
and
cool
perspective.
And I think
that's what this highlights, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's just so great. Happy
I like
Tears.
It. All right. Who's it by again?
I don't think I said. Susanna Charlson.
Happy Tears by Susanna
no,
Charlson.
No, sorry. The Possibility Dogs.
Possibility
Dogs.
Oh, right.
Happy
yes.
Tears
Happy
is
Tears
my
is
review.
What you said. Possibility Dogs yeah. by Susanna Charlson. Okay. I went with, for my second one, I am definitely a cat person, so my repertoire of dog books that I've read is limited. So
mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of, like, dogs and summertime and heat and dogs, and then I started thinking of hot dogs.
Oh.
So I'm going a little bit afield with this one, but this is one that has gotten a lot of really good reviews online. It is also very short, so you can sit down with this and read it in a couple of hours or a day, and it reads really quickly, and it's a lot of fun. It's called Hot Dog, A Global History by
oh.
Bruce Craig. Bruce Craig is a food historian, so he's written a bunch of books about, and like articles and essays and pieces about like the history of different foods, and this is a book about the history of the hot dog, or the like encased tube sausage, which apparently goes back like 20,000 years. You go back to like the earliest years of human civilization and you find processed meat, like sausage, starting to emerge really, really early on, I guess to keep it from spoiling or something like that. But then it just traces the history of processed meat and sausage all the way to the present day with the hot dog and then like the different varieties of hot dogs and the different companies and brands focusing, like as you get closer to the present day, focusing more on the U.S. where the hot dog is just the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, really, really fun. And that's like 120 pages long, so you can sit down and knock it out really quickly. Probably pictures, yeah.
I wonder, do they talk about haggis? I feel like is like...
Any kind of grandfather.
Yeah.
It might be. I don't know. I have to say, I have to confess that I haven't read this book. I found it online earlier, and I need to check it out. But I had haggis for the first time last year. It was at Epcot.
It's not bad, right?
It's good.
I mean, I'm a vegetarian now, so but I have had it.
was haggis before, like the last thing you had?
I'm going
vegetarian. I just got to try all of these things,
yep.
And then I'm like, all right, I'm done.
No,
I've had haggis. I've had sweet bread. I'm out.
Yep. No, I haven't. I haven't been that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, because haggis, you can't necessarily tell.
Right.
So,
yeah,
like a hot dog.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's sheep.
Right.
But yeah, I just was surprised.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no, I thought it was good.
But you know, meat is murder. Okay, great.
Okay.
Good.
Yes. Okay.
Speaking of animals.
All right. So that's all the recommendations I got. So what do you?
I got one more.
All right. Go
and
for
this
it.
One is The Dog Survives.
Mm-hmm.
Although the dog is not the main character, but it also, I think, if you are not feeling super engaged in the political process, this could have be a good outlet for you. It's called Sick Puppy by Carl Hyacin.
Okay.
And I can't remember if I've talked about him before, but his books always are very funny. They are, there's always like an environmental message to it. This one has a woman, like, she sees a guy like throwing litter on the highway and she dumps a dumpster full of trash in his BMW convertible to get back at him. And he's a developer, and he's trying to develop parts of Florida for like luxury condos. And she's like, no, because of the environment.
Is it Donald Trump? Because I haven't written it off yet.
Well, his name is Palmer Stoat.
Okay.
And the eco-terrorist,
yes.
His name Twilly Spree.
Okay.
So, you know, that, I think...
So there's a two-syllable, one-syllable thing going on?
Yeah, and there's also, like, sort of a silliness to it, like, sort of a manic silliness to the story. But Twilly kidnaps Palmer's wife, although she goes pretty willingly.
Okay.
And their dog, who ends up being kind of one of the best characters, because, you know, dogs are
awesome.
Have great personality.
Yeah, yeah.
But Carl Hyacin books always have, there's a sense of absurdity about them, like really dark humor, but funny.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an ex-governor in there, that's why I threw in politics and
okay.
bribery
awesome.
And stuff like that. And there's always, justice is always meted out. Usually one of the villains is eaten by an alligator. I mean, there's always, like, craziness, but you'll get a happy ending.
All right. Awesome.
So Sick Puppy.
Cool. So I will check that out. And all the other books should be available at Chapel Hill Public Library.
They
so
sure are.
ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org,
yep.
Is it? Yep. Okay. I always forget if it's .org or it's got to be .org. Yeah.
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 Well,
ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org. Go there, check it out, and get all those books and more.
Get them all. And there's
gotta
a
catch
list
them all.
In the catalog if you need more.
Awesome. Susan McGuire, thank you so much.
Thanks.